Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. Hour number one. We are live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. The Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. I swear I will eventually get this partial beard cleaned up.
I noticed that yesterday.
Well, the razor, honestly, I don't have one at home. The razor here, the electric razor, broke downstairs here. I don't have it, so I'm a little bit of a mess.
I don't think it looks messy. I thought we were just going back to the beard thing.
Yeah, I just don't love it. I'm transitioning out of this into a cleaner look, but yeah. It's just today it's a little...
Well, the good news is you already debuted the beard and the mustache with the audience, so it's not too jarring.
Thank you, Joy. That's Joy Taylor, of course. So if you work, one of the things that's happened in America, and it's amazing to me to see the lack of self-awareness. Yesterday I said nice stuff about America to start my show, about Josh Allen, and there's a lot of ways to succeed in America. Now I'm going to be critical of a disturbing trend in America. Everybody thinks they're an expert on stuff they've put no time into. Like, I'm not really interested in your COVID opinion. Are you an epidemiologist? Shh, I'm not interested. Are you a climatologist? I'm not interested if you're not. It used to be, I think, in America that if you did something for 20 or 30 years, you know, insurance, landscaping, educator, like that qualifies as close to being an expert, astrologer. It doesn't matter what it is. Like, but for some reason in America now, social media has empowered people to think they know more about technology than Elon Musk from their 1,100 square foot apartment. Okay, you know more about business than Mark Cuban. No, but okay. So I've been in television 30 years. I think I know it. I think I'm pretty good at spotting who's faking it on TV, who's authentic, who's real. So I'm not really that fascinated with your opinion on what I'm about to say because I know it's right. I watched Hard Knocks and the Cowboys last night. Mike McCarthy, every time I see him, tries way too hard. He really does. He's like what a football coach would act like in a movie about a football coach. Remember when he was unemployed? He went out of his way. He overcompensated because everybody said he's sort of outdated. Like Aaron Rodgers inferred that he was outdated. So he became Mr. Analytics guy. Analytics. And then he admitted a year later after Jerry Jones hired him, I didn't watch all the Cowboy games. When I watch Hard Knocks, Dak Prescott is a total alpha. Like Dak Prescott really comes across as, that's a guy I want to be in the foxhole with. Dak Prescott doesn't have a phony bone in his body. Like that kid I would line up next to and go to the ends of the earth for. Mike McCarthy comes off like a 1994 football coach trying to overcompensate. Who was the first big hire he made with the Cowboys? Mike Nolan, defensive coordinator. That is such a 1994 hire. He was completely over his skis. The NFL's gotten really young and really smart with its coaches. Sean McDermott, Matt Rhule, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Joe Judge, Brian Flores. These guys are progressive. They're smart. They're not into cliches. I'm watching Mike McCarthy, all the swearing and all the... He had a moment last night on the HBO show, Hard Knocks. This is stuff you'd be embarrassed to say if you were like a first-year high school football coach. It's like every cliche out of 1988, let's play it. We beeped out obvious parts.
Last year, because we don't have a lot of time doing the hard stuff that we need to do to get to where we want to go. Charlie Ron, he don't work here, okay? High school Harry, get his ass out the door. This is about winning. It's about winning the world championship. Period. Period. Because that's all that matters. Going to playoffs ain't good enough.
Oh, Jesus. Folks, there have been the last six coaches on Hard Knocks. One of them has looked really, really sharp. The one that is really sharp, Sean McVay. You can't fool me on TV. The cliches, the swearing. You go to the last six coaches on Hard Knocks, one guy, you're like, wow, that guy's energy, that guy's passion. It was Sean McVay. Green Bay is 26-6 since McCarthy left. Back-to-back NFC championships. When he left, nobody called for a year. So he did that corny go downstairs in my basement analytics thing that was so forced, later acknowledging a lot of it was BS. And then a year later, two people offered him a job. Cleveland doesn't have a track record of great hires, although Kevin Stefanski seems to be really sharp. And the Cowboys. And I said this a couple weeks ago about the Cowboys. They do business like the 80s and 90s. You know, like 13 of their top 14 contracts are guys they drafted. It's not the way the Chiefs do business. It's not the way the Seahawks do business. Baltimore does business. The Bills do business. The Rams do business. Go get the best players. Don't believe you have all the answers. And I got nothing against Mike McCarthy here, but I've been in this business 30 years, and I watch Sean McVay, and you're like, oh, my God. And you watch Mike McCarthy, and you're like, oh, my God. It's a different OMG. If you're a Cowboy fan, I just – and by the way, it's not an age thing. Andy Reid, sharp as a tack. Sean Payton, Pete Carroll, Belichick. A lot of guys, like, you see him talk, it's totally authentic. I always feel like McCarthy is trying to sell me something. He's acting like he thinks a football coach should act. And he's got a Super Bowl, so, you know – but, you know, there's some quarterbacks and coaches with Super Bowls that we don't think are great. I don't know. I watched Hard Knocks last night. My takeaway is Dak Prescott's the real deal. McCarthy's inauthentic and acting like a football coach. Here's a story that I don't get. Like, we know this. This Ben Simmons in Philadelphia now, he's not going to show up to training camp. He won't return their calls. There are a lot of times in sports that a team fails a player. And in those instances, I think I'm fair. I support the player. Cleveland, for the first 7 years, when you were all burning your jerseys, Cleveland failed LeBron James. They didn't have a second elite player. I mean, God, who was the second best player on those teams? Cleveland failed LeBron. He leaves to Miami. They get terrible in an hour. He comes back. He saves them again. LeBron's had every right to leave Cleveland both times. Hey, I love Portland and Dame, but they haven't done a good enough job. They have been sticking with this C.J. McCollum, great guy, by the way, Dame thing for like several years now, and they're the same player, yet they don't have wings. Like Kevin Garnett in Minnesota, he had a right to leave. Like, they failed him. Anthony Davis with the Pelicans. I mean, they had Drew Holiday, but they didn't do a great job with him. I will always support the player, a young man that comes into the NBA. He's worked his butt off. He's a top pick. He goes to a bad team, and the owner and the executives fail him. But Ben Simmons is out of his mind. He's mad at Philadelphia. Time out. Okay, he's the one that can't hit a free throw. Okay, just think about these four or five things. They draft him, and he misses the entire first season. All right, not his fault. And then they give him the max extension, despite the fact he can't shoot and he is a point guard. And then they hire a deal-making general manager and Doc Rivers, a player-friendly coach. Despite rumors, they always support him publicly. Even after a playoff series in which he was a point guard that was terrified to have the ball in his hands, they defend him publicly. And he's mad at them? He's indifferent, it appears, to getting better. He has been coddled and babied and promoted and protected and marketed, and he's mad at them? He's going to no-show to training camp? He refuses to take anybody's calls? I mean, come on now. LeBron in Cleveland, team let him down. KG, T-Wolves, team let him down. Dame in Portland, front office, do better. AD to the Pelicans, I got AD's back. This is a Ben Simmons issue. I mean, they've surrounded him with, think about this. Jimmy Butler was there. They went and got him Jimmy Butler. He couldn't get along with him. They get Tobias Harris, a Curry, Joel Embiid, a deal-making GM, a totally player-friendly, offensive-minded coach. Give me specifics, Ben. I've said this about Aaron Rodgers. If you're upset, Aaron, with the Packers, give me specifics beyond you should have called me with the quarterback when you drafted him. All right, I wouldn't be happy with it, but that's not the end of the world. It's not like Brady got a heads up with Garoppolo. Like, if everybody, like, there are real victims out there, okay, all across sports, all across America, all across the world. Ben Simmons is playing the victim, and my takeaway is I think Philadelphia is at wit's end. I think they have everything. I mean, they could have got him. I mean, they went and got him the deal-making GM in the league. They went and got him maybe the most player-friendly coach. You inherit Joel Embiid. They get you a Curry who can shoot, Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, and you won't return their calls? Come on now. Give me a break on this. Philadelphia has every right to be completely over and discouraged with this relationship. Ben Simmons has gotten a much, much better roster than KG did in Minnesota, AD did in New Orleans, Dame has in Portland, LeBron arguably twice in Cleveland. Sometimes we have to admit the team did their job. The player failed. So far, Ben Simmons has been a huge disappointment.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Discover matches all the cash back you earn in your credit card end of your first year automatically, no limit. Go to discover.com/yes. Good to have you in. Great to have you in today. But you know what's great, Joy? Thursday, Mac Jones plays for the Patriots. Then Saturday, we get Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence and Jordan Love. And I'm missing a bunch of people. Did I say Justin Fields, mm-hmm. Trey Lance? We get all the young kids. So this weekend, we're going to have a game. I got to tell you something. I have been a proponent of reducing preseason NFL football. Why get starters hurt? We're all crossing our fingers every time, you know, an athlete turns an ankle. Just get rid of it. Do one game. One year you get a home game. The next year you don't. These coaches, college doesn't have a preseason. Just, I mean, opening game a couple years ago. I mean, you'll have Notre Dame playing legitimate teams first week, and those are 18-year-old kids that have class. So, like, why do we need to have a preseason? But I'll tell you, this year's preseason,
very important.
A lot of really interesting quarterback stuff. So let's talk about a veteran quarterback here. So there's a lot of contract noise in Seattle. Dwayne Brown, great left tackle, is at practice, not participating, wants a new deal. Now the story is Jamal Adams wants a new deal. He's still on his rookie contract. He's been underpaid, no question, but that's the way it works. You're a rookie, you overachieve, you want you know, contract a little early. And apparently Pete Carroll, according to a Seattle Times story, Pete Carroll is not pushing nearly as hard for Dwayne Brown, Russell Wilson's left tackle, a much more important position than he is Jamal Adams, a safety. Why? Because Pete's ego is tied to his defense, and his defense in the last several years has not been very good, and Pete's been called out for running a defensive style. The league has moved past, and so he's fighting for this Jamal Adams contract to get done. It should be noted, Pete desperately pushed for John Snyder, the GM, to make this deal because Russell was getting all the love, the offense, Russ is cooking, and the defense had no pass rush, so they gave up two firsts, a player, and a third for a safety. And I like Jamal Adams. He's a playmaker. I mean, he had like 9 sacks last year, 9.5. I like him a lot. But the left tackle on this football team is more valuable than Jamal Adams. But Pete, I thought, panicked a little with Jamal Adams, who's really, really good. Nobody denies that. But left tackles are more important than safeties, period. Especially when Dwayne Brown is a really, really athletic mountain of a man at left tackle, top 5 left tackle. So, you know, and I've said this before, is LeBron James, he's the world's eraser. LeBron James makes a lot of average coaches and average general managers and average teammates look good. He covers up your mistakes. And, you know, Brady did this a lot in New England with the Patriots' drafting mistakes. He made a lot of receivers look a lot better than they were. And Russell Wilson is becoming that guy in Seattle. If you look at Seattle, bottom half defense in the NFL, bottom half. Offensive line still has holes. Running back by committee. Do you know what statistically they do really well? Russell scoring touchdowns. That's what they're elite at. You know, Aaron Rodgers complains about Green Bay. Green Bay's offensive line, far superior to Seattle's. In fact, Aaron, less athletic than Russell, got sacked 20 times last year. Russell got sacked like 45. Running back, advantage Green Bay. Wide receiver, Devontae Adams, the best for either team. Tight end, advantage Green Bay. Coach, offensive-minded. Like, Aaron can complain, but see, Green Bay does several things pretty well. To very well. Seattle now does one thing really well. Russell scores touchdowns. So I think this is very interesting. Joy and I have said this. I don't think you need to accumulate tons of draft picks. You know, I would give up a first-round draft pick every year if I could get a Jalen Ramsey, as long as I could afford him. That I would do, a proven star on a coin flip, a little bit of a coin flip. But there's a reason you need second, third, fourth, and fifth rounders, because if you're going to pay four guys a lot of money, you need some cheap labor. You got to find some guys. You know, DK Metcalf falls in the draft. Seattle's getting a really good player for several years and not paying him anything. It's really important. And Seattle has just been too willing to just give up draft picks. I like Jamal Adams. I was a Jamal Adams guy 3 years ago. I'm like, this guy is great. But two firsts, a third, and a safety? For a safety? and according to the Seattle Times, two reporters, they're not as willing to be flexible, Dwayne, as they are Jamal. I think it's because they panicked. Pete jammed this through. I don't believe the entire organization loved it as much as Pete. And now they're only 1 year into this thing. They can't move Jamal Adams. I mean, God, you can't give up two firsts and a third and after a year say, all right, we experimented. It didn't work. That looks bad. That optically, that's bad. So, you know, this, keep your eye on this. Keep your eye on this situation in Seattle. I ran a football team. Russell Wilson, left tackle, feels like much more important than a box safety. Translation, a safety that plays linebacker, not a rangy guy in terms of covering. It's more of a guy's going to blow stuff up, and Jamal's great at it. He said he and Derwin James, just they look different than everybody else. Minka Fitzpatrick, pretty good too. They're just, they play a little different than everybody else, but interesting situation to keep your eye on. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Russell Westbrook was introduced as the newest member of the Lakers yesterday. And during his press conference, the former MVP responded to a question about his legacy as he joins his hometown team.
Yeah, Russell, do you feel like you have anything to prove?
No, I don't. When I got drafted in the NBA, that was me proving people wrong. When I was able to go to college and get a degree, that was me proving people wrong. Not a degree. I wish I got a degree. But go to college, go to UCLA from the inner city, that was me proving people wrong. Just to make it out the hood was proving people wrong. I don't need to do that anymore.
I thought that was my favorite bite yesterday. And he also said something else that, you know, and I've been critical of Westbrook as a player. We all know that, right? You know, the game has sort of moved away from his style. But one of the things we don't think about a lot is that, you know, when these guys get traded around the league, a lot of times they're not with their kids, they're not with their family. And Russell Westbrook said yesterday, I get to see my mom every day, I get to see my dad every day, I get to see my kids every day. One of the reasons when I started doing this for a living, I did local television, I did play-by-play, I did talk radio. I thought I was going to be a play-by-play guy. One of the reasons I chose this, because I didn't want to live in hotels.
Yeah.
Because I want to see my wife every day. I want to see my kids. And it's like, I thought Westbrook was really human yesterday. He's like, I got to be around my family. I know, they're all rich. And that everybody always says, well, I make a lot of money. You can make a lot of money. It's no fun to be in a condo by yourself waiting for an NBA tip-off, or it's an off day, you practice, and you sit around by yourself. That's not a fun life, regardless if you have a nine-figure net worth. And I thought Westbrook yesterday came off really, really good throughout the interview.
Yeah, and I like this response as well, because we do, well, sometimes his legacy is called into question because he has all these incredible statistical accomplishments, but he doesn't have a ring, right? So at the end of his career, how are we going to look back on Russell Westbrook's career if he doesn't win a championship? Because the fact of the matter is, we do talk about guys who win championships differently than we talk about all-time legends that don't win championships, because that's what you're playing for. Now, at this point in Russell Westbrook's career, he doesn't have to prove anything about whether or not he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, we know what he is.
A legend in the game, and what his game is. We know what Russell Westbrook is at this point. The interesting thing with the Lakers is that I'm interested to see how he's going to adjust his game, right? Like, we didn't know if Harden was going to be able to work. It was like, this is going to fit with the Nets. And he blew us all away. He just adjusted his game and carried that team through the regular season.
Yeah, I think Harden has really adjusted his game. And for the record, Joy, there are very few players in league history. Magic Johnson was a rare player where if you needed 20 points, he'd give it to you, 20 assists or 20 rebounds. He could play center.
Yeah.
Like, Magic's an outlier. Your game is your game. And with Westbrook, you know, his game is his game. But I will say this in defense of him. What he adds is kind of what they need, which is they need somebody that's dynamic, athletic. It's an old basketball team.
They need some juice. And
they
one
need
thing
juice
that Westbrook brings every single
juice.
Night is juice. And I do think it's going to be a little rocky in the beginning of the season, as it generally is when you put a bunch of new players together. So everyone's going to panic and freak out, and that's unnecessary. LeBron always figures it out. To me, the key to this situation is Anthony Davis. Russell Westbrook's going to be. How's he going to work with LeBron and AD and balance it out? They'll figure it out. They're veteran guys, and Russell Westbrook is now home. He wants to win. He has every other accomplishment he could possibly have. So I think whatever adjustments he needs to make, he will. It just depends on AD's health. Like, at the end of the day, if AD is healthy, they're probably going to be in the championship.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it doesn't matter if it's Jeff Green or Russell Westbrook. Guys have a game.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Jeff Green is super talented but inconsistent. And every time I watch Jeff Green, I'm like, why isn't he a star? He's impossible to stop. And then the next night he has 4 points. Like, guys' games, Magic was unique. LeBron's unique. They're the Swiss Army knives. Most guys have a game. We all know what Russell does. And what he does is actually, for this moment, not a terrible fit.
Especially during the regular season. So Dennis Schroeder is heading to Boston.
Oh. His agent.
Well, he announced on Instagram that he will play for the Celtics next season. The deal is reportedly for 1 year, $5.9 million. This comes just months after he reportedly turned down a four-year, $84 million extension with the Lakers. And according to the Boston Herald, Schroeder is in a state of shock after saying no to that deal.
Okay, so I have a strong opinion on this.
Okay.
So the entire second half of the season, I had a source from two people. Dennis is difficult. He's not well-liked in the locker room. He's toxic. And this is what it comes down to in professional sports. And this matters all over America. Lubricate, do not agitate.
Yeah.
He is an agitator. Players don't like him. They don't like playing with him. He's super talented. Dennis can really play. But it's a prime example. It's a great message in life. Dennis didn't lose $100 million because he can't play. Dennis Schroeder can play. I don't think he's as good as he thinks, but he can play. He's on his fourth team in 4 years. Okay, here's a memo from Uncle Colin. Sometimes in life, lubricate a room, an office. Don't agitate. He's an agitator, and the Lakers were just tired of his blank. They were just tired of it.
It's great to have your personality and be yourself and all those things, but you got to get along with other people. And when a team game, especially when that team is led by LeBron James, who has incredibly high standards, and I don't think is really interested in like drama at this point in his career, that's not going to work. Now, everyone's kind of like poking fun at the situation, which I don't take any happiness out of seeing someone lose that much money. But yeah, I mean, it's a rough situation for Schroeder. That's tough.
When you're that talented and you're on your fourth team in 4 years, so that means three different teams have said, we're going to give up a really talented player. That's not what the NBA is. Pro sports is get talented guys and keep them and try to get a decent deal. he's moving around the league because nobody wants to play with him.
Well, there is a silver lining that you do have a one-year deal and you're with Boston and you can always turn it around.
And if you're a Celtic fan, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Dennis Schroeder, those are three really good players.
And he's got to play for his money now. So
if you're a Celtic fan, your hope is he's learned a little bit of his lesson. He pulls back with the agitation and he goes out and gives you 17 a night, which is what he does. And I think Boston for a year feels better today. They're rolling the dice. But you may get lucky here that Schroeder could be on his best behavior. And he's more athletic than Kemba, who's got bad knees. So I think the Celtics for a year are a better basketball team.
I agree.
Yeah.
So Matt LaFleur said this week that Aaron Rodgers will likely not play at all during the preseason, which means we will get our first look at Jordan Love on Saturday when the Packers face the Texans.
I'm so excited for this.
Yeah, it's weird because you and I are super anti-preseason. And this year preseason feels really important for a lot of players. And this will be the first time he takes the field as a Packer. His first action since the Senior Bowl in January of 2020.
I have literally no idea what he looks like. This is a Bigfoot sighting. We get about one a week. I mean, seriously, I've never seen him in a real play. I have no idea.
No, I mean, it's the first time he's going to be on the field as a Packer. None of us know.
He's big
said
kid.
He's excited to get out there, and he's been preparing for this moment since last year.
So when you look at him, he looks big and athletic to me.
He looks bigger than last year as well. I also like that Aaron Rodgers talked about how he kept in touch with him throughout the offseason, through all of the drama. I thought that was a nice thing to learn.
I'm excited.
I didn't think he did, but you know, I'm sure it was rough. As much as we were talking about Aaron Rodgers, I'm sure it was rough on Jordan Love this offseason as well, dealing with having to hear about all of that and the drama, and his drafting kind of sparked it all. But yeah, I'm really interested to see it, and I hope he does well, because this could get from bad to worse if he doesn't play well.
Oh God!
And
it'd be bad PR week for the Packers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line.
You know, it's
news.
Funny, but it does matter. I said Zach Wilson when I watched him this weekend. I thought looked small. He looked overwhelmed. When you look at these players, I just see small bits of footage online of Trey Lance, I'm like, ooh. Justin Fields, you're like, oh, Joe Burrow yesterday looked bigger. He looked fuller. Jordan Love looks, when I just look at the video, you're like, oh, he looks the part. You know, nice release, athletic kid, lean, looks a little bit like a wide receiver body, like he can move. So I know it's just optics, but some of that stuff matters. Albert Breer, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing, Monday morning quarterback. So you were just the 49ers quarterback room. It's kind of fascinating because, you know, they can win with Garoppolo. He's proven that. Trey Lance is hitting it out of the park. They're going to have, they're going to put in sets and moments for Trey Lance to flourish. So you just got done interviewing and talking to Kyle Shanahan. And I'm thinking about the preseason. I would imagine they roll Trey Lance out for three quarters. I mean, what are we going to see here in the preseason from the Niners?
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of Trey Lance. And one of the main reasons why is what the Niners haven't seen from him yet. They knew he was smart. They knew he had physical ability. And he's shown all of that over his first 4 months there. What he doesn't have a lot of, even at the college level, Colin, is game action.
Right.
And you know how dominant North Dakota State is? He played 17 games there. He only threw 25 passes in a game, more than 25 passes in a game once while he was at North Dakota State. Because they were up so often because they're so dominant, rarely in third and long, rarely playing from behind. And so, they can test him in different ways in practice, but what they need to see is how he reacts in game situations, how he reacts in third and long, how he reacts when he's down. And those are the sorts of things that, again, are really, really hard to manufacture in practice. So I'd assume that we're going to see quite a bit of him in the preseason. So the Niners coaches can test him in different ways. And, like Kyle said to me, Trey's already made this a more difficult decision than the Niners anticipated it being, so they need to gather as much information as they possibly can.
Listen, the best news to me, I talked to Frank Reich yesterday, and he made it sound like, when I talked to him, is that they didn't need Nick Foles or Phillip Rivers, that Carson Wentz and Quentin Nelson, by the way, Carson looks like he's going to be back early. That was my impression talking to the Colts head coach. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I got that impression too. And they got to be careful here. It's Carson Wentz's, it's his injury history, of course. It's also the fact that foot injuries are tricky that way, and that, generally they can recur if you go back on them too early. So, I would think that this is going to be sort of a week-to-week thing with Carson Wentz over the next few weeks, the 4 weeks leading up to the regular season. But certainly I think that they wanted to get a look at their young quarterbacks, and that was part of what was going to happen over the last week in general. And so, you know, getting a look at Jacob Eason, and Colin, I know you know what he is physically and what he can do physically. The game moves sort of fast for him.
Yes.
That's why Sam Ehlinger was getting reps with the first team over the last couple of days.
Yep.
And then monitoring Carson Wentz. And the fact that they haven't made any sort of move on a veteran, I think is a tell that they feel pretty good about where Carson Wentz is physically, at least right now. And again, foot injuries can be tricky, so it's still a week-to-week thing, but I can see where the Colts do feel pretty good about where Carson Wentz is right now.
So Josh Allen gets an extension. I am a huge fan. I think it's a great American story, a small kid in a small high school and an average football program to below average, and they stick with him and they give him good coaching, and finally he flourishes. You can be Peyton Manning and a number one pick with a great, you know, background, and or you can be Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, right, where he had a losing record. And I think it just speaks well to our country and the NFL, and maybe I'm being melodramatic, but I love the idea of Buffalo mattering and finding this gem in this small program out west that couldn't win football games. But I do wonder, when you look at the number, does it affect Baker Mayfield? Does it affect Lamar Jackson? Or is each one of these kind of a one-off? Your interpretation, yeah, of what Josh's number and guaranteed money does for everybody else like Baker?
Well, I just think the problem that Baker and Lamar are going to run into right here, as far as this affecting their deals whatsoever, is the organizations they play for. And look at the contracts that those teams have done. The Ravens took care of two very big pieces last year, organizationally, in Marlon Humphrey,
yes,
and Ronnie Stanley. Those guys both did really well on their contracts, but those weren't groundbreaking deals. Ronnie Stanley didn't get what Laremy Tunsil got in Houston. Marlon Humphrey didn't get what Jalen Ramsey got in L.A. And then you look at Cleveland and the deal they did with Nick Chubb, and I'm happy as hell for Nick Chubb that he got the deal he did after what he went through in college and the road he's taken to the NFL. But that wasn't a groundbreaking deal either.
Yeah.
You know, both these organizations have convinced players that there's a responsible way to do these contracts, and they've done them responsibly. And that, yeah, tells me that neither team is going to let the Josh Allen contract affect what they're doing too much. So my guess would be it doesn't really affect them. That does not mean that the Ravens and Browns wouldn't take risk by taking a hard line here, because I think we all know what's behind door number two. If they wait for 2022 with Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield, well, then Aaron Rodgers is going into a contract year in 2022. Matthew Stafford is going into a contract year in 2022. And it's certainly possible that the quarterback market could change again and affect what happens with Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson then. So there's risk in waiting, but I don't think it has much to do with the Josh Allen extension.
By the way, Hard Knocks debuted last night. I know this is opinion more than reporting, but your interpretation, if you watched it, if you didn't, it's fine with me. Did you watch it at all?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it. I think my biggest takeaway is probably, you know, how Dak Prescott is front and center, you know, for the organization now. After, you know, all the contract issues over the last couple of years, and are they in, are they out? You know, not only did they sell out in giving Dak the contract that they gave him, but, you know, they have no problem pushing him out and putting him front and center. And I think really the impression you get, watching Dak in a little bit more of a casual setting, you know now why people talk about Dak the way that they do, why Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones say what a special leader he is, why the people at Mississippi State talked about him the way they did, why you saw him on the sideline last year going off in the cart, and both teams circled around,
yeah,
Dak Prescott as his season ended. My biggest impression was just kind of how hard the Cowboys are pushing Dak Prescott out there as the face of the franchise. Because as you know, Colin, a lot of times there are different characters in these shows.
Yeah.
The coaches can, you know, be put on a big stage. The owners can be put on a big stage. It did strike me how it really looked like the Cowboys were pushing Dak Prescott out front.
Well, I think they should. I mean, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they should. It's the right thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, he's also very authentic. He is what he is.
Yep.
And I think the television tells you that. All right, Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Good seeing you.
All right, thanks, Colin.
Yeah, it is an interesting weekend. I have to admit, I'm not supposed to root for teams, and I generally don't, but I do root for people and situations sometimes. And there's about five things in the NFL I'm rooting for, some good, some bad, but I think it makes it more interesting, and it's good for all of us, and I'll tell you what those are next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Navien tankless water heaters. Go to tanklessmadesimple.com. Endless hot water. 15-year limited warranty as well. Jersey Mike subs day. TJ Hushmanzada joining us next hour. He's about as sharp as anybody we bring on. So, you know, it's interesting. I was talking to a young person the other day and in the car with this person, and it was interesting. He said, I don't really care about teams. I root for players. And research, about 10 years ago when I was at the other place, I got a hold of some research, and it showed that increasingly young fans, they ain't rooting for the Lakers as much as they were rooting for Kobe. It's they don't care where LeBron goes. They're just LeBron fans. They don't care who he plays for. They root for him. Now, I'm the same way, mostly because having covered this sport for years, I've built up relationships and people I like, and I meet people. So I know all of you think I'm rooting against your teams. I could give a rip. I could give a rip. Bottom line, are you interesting? Joy and I win when you're interesting. We've said before, if Tua goes 17-0, that's interesting. That's a good story. If he goes 0-17, that's a fantastic story. If he goes 10-7, it's not that interesting because they went 10-6 last year. But there are five situations and or players that I'm rooting for this year. I want to see these things happen for a variety of reasons. And I just want to be upfront with you on what those are. Number one, I'm rooting for Sam Darnold to flourish. Why? Because I don't want to see a 24-year-old get canceled when he was pressured in 42% of his throws last year. The ownership, the coaching, none of it worked. He'll have a better O-line. He'll have real star players. No quarterback in the league has played with fewer Pro Bowlers than Sam Darnold since he arrived. It's not that I like him. It's that I know him. I understand his situation, and I root for young people who got a series of dysfunctional bad breaks entering the league. Number two, I want to see Justin Fields succeed in Chicago. It's a great American city. It's a great sports city, and they have never had a single quarterback in franchise history, I wish I was making this up, that has thrown for 4,000 yards. The last Bear quarterback that was named All-Pro, Johnny Lujack in 1950. I thought that was a disc jockey. This city, this team, these fans deserve a legit star quarterback. I'm rooting for Joe Burrow to stay healthy. Like Darnold, I've never seen a young quarterback take a beating like Joe Burrow. 32 times he was sacked in 10 games. He was a crouton in a salad bowl being thrust side to side. Not fair, bad O-line. I said this when he came in. My concern is the organization, and I thought the organization let him down. If you're not rooting for Joe Burrow, you don't have a heart. This kid got crushed last year, and then he had an awful MCL tear, ACL tear, additional ligament damage. You have to root for Joe Burrow. I'm rooting for the Eagles to absolutely implode. I don't like meddling bosses. Doug Peterson arguably outcoached Belichick in a Super Bowl, and they leak stuff. And they treated him like garbage. And after games on Monday, the owner would come in reportedly and tell him what plays to run. A brutal situation. Carson Wentz, they leaked that he was a bad guy. And then every source I have that I tried to confirm it, none of them heard that. This organization's meddling. They leak stuff. And I believe Doug Peterson's a good coach. And I believe Carson Wentz is a good quarterback. And by the way, Jalen Hurts found out last year when they pulled him late in the season, trying to get him reps, they pulled him. What are you doing? I root against meddling, dysfunctional organizations, and increasingly the Eagles are a mess. Finally, I want the Packers to make the playoffs. It's good for Fox, and it's good for my company, and it's good for Joy and I. But I want to see them go on a little bit of a losing streak in November. The schedule's tough. It's the Rams. It's the Chiefs. It's the Vikings. It's the Seahawks. It's great theater. Listen, we know they're going to win a bunch of games. We're sure they're going to make the playoffs. Thanksgiving, little two-game losing streak. I want to watch the theater. They're not going to lose enough to miss the playoffs. But you can't tell me you kind of want to see what happens when they don't win. It'd be good. It'd be very interesting. I want to see the GM, Aaron, prickly November. Just a little bit. Hour two next.